Well, good afternoon. It's noon Eastern Standard Time, and we're going to get going with our lesson for today. We are dealing with the covenants and their relationship to eschatology, or the doctrine of future things. And so to get right into the lesson today, we studied the Abrahamic covenant. So as we look at eschatology, we're looking at four major covenants out of the eight that God's given in His Word, but four major covenants that are unconditional, that are determinative, and that are related to the doctrine of future things and lay a foundation for prophecy to be fulfilled. So we looked at the Abrahamic covenant first, and the Abrahamic covenant was a foundational covenant or a seed covenant. And within the Abrahamic covenant, we learned that there was a promise of seed, there was a promise of land, and there was a promise of redemption. And the promise of the land was expanded upon in the Palestinian covenant, which we looked at yesterday. And we see how that relates to prophecy, as Israel will one day have that covenant completely fulfilled as they repent of their sins and accept and receive their Messiah. And God gives them all the land that's been promised to them. But then we're looking today at the Davidic covenant, a covenant that God made with David, and how that in the Davidic covenant, we find that God expands and expounds upon the promise of the seed that He promised in the Abrahamic covenant to Abraham. And of course, that seed is represented in the nation of Israel, in the Jews, and then it will be expounded upon in greater detail, even as we come into the new covenant, as we see the promise of redemption that's given to the nation of Israel, and ultimately that the Gentiles, you and I, that are saved by the good grace of God and a part of the church, amen, we get to be a part of this covenant program of God as well. We've been grafted in, praise God for it. But today I want to look at the Davidic covenant then, and good to see folks joining up and watching, and hope you enjoy and share these lessons. The Bible tells us, if you'll open your Bibles to 2 Samuel 7, 2 Samuel 7, in verses 1 through 16, we find the Davidic covenant. And I'm going to do a lot of reading. The idea of these lessons is to indoctrinate us in the Word of God. And so we are looking much at the Word of God. We want to learn the Word of God. We want to study to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. And when God tells us to rightly divide the Word of truth, we understand then that there are divisions, that the Word of God is to be divided and weighed out and balanced properly, that we come, that the man of God is not ashamed, we've studied to show ourselves approved unto God. Now, 2 Samuel chapter 7, we're going to read verses 1 through 16. The Bible said, "And it came to pass, when the king sat in his house, and the Lord had given him rest round about from all of his enemies," and I'm reading off my iPad here, so I'm looking away from the camera. I'm sorry, I have to do that. The Bible said, "Then the king said unto Nathan the prophet, See now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwelleth within curtains. And Nathan said to the king, Go, do all that is in thine heart, for the Lord is with thee. And it came to pass that night that the word of the Lord came unto Nathan, saying, Go and tell my servant David, Thus saith the Lord, Shalt thou build me a house for me to dwell in? Whereas I have not dwelt in any house since the time that I brought up the children of Israel out of Egypt, even to this day, but have walked in a tent and in a tabernacle. In all the places wherein I have walked with all the children of Israel, spake I a word with any of the tribes of Israel, whom I commanded to feed my people Israel, saying, Why build ye not me an house of cedar? Now therefore, so shalt thou say unto my servant David, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people and over Israel. And I was with thee whithersoever thou wentest, and have cut off all thine enemies out of thy sight, and have made thee a great name unto the name of the great men that are in the earth. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own, and move no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more, as before time. And as since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, and have caused thee to rest from all thine enemies. Also the Lord telleth thee," now here we get into the meat of the Davidic covenant, folks, all right? "Also the Lord telleth thee that he will make thee an house. And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee." This is a promise from God to David, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom. Notice how long this is, forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men, and with the stripes of the children of men. But My mercy shall not depart away from him as I took it from Saul. Here we see it's an unconditional covenant. All right. He said, whom I put away before thee, and thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. According to all these words and according to all this vision, so did Nathan speak unto David. So we see here God is making a promise. God is making a covenant with David. Now let me give you quickly the background of this covenant. The background of this covenant is that David wanted to build the house of God. He had a desire to bless God by building God a house. And as a result of that, you know, there's a principle that carries throughout the Word of God. You can't outgive God. You can't outbless God. And David wanted to build God a house. And in turn, God told David, I'm going to build you a house. David's desire to bless God was dwarfed by God's desire to bless David. As we honor the Lord, we find that the Lord honors us. And so the background of this covenant is simply David saying, I want to build a house for God. I want to bless the name of God. And God said, here's what I'm going to do for you, David. I'm going to build you a house that's going to be forever, that's going to be perpetual. I'm going to give you a seed, which is going to be the fulfillment of the Abrahamic covenant. And I'm going to give you a kingdom and a throne. And so that's the background of this covenant. Then we find the binding nature of this covenant. The binding nature of this covenant. We find the choice of words, and I pointed those out as we read through our verses here in 2 Samuel 7, verses 1 through 16. God used the words like forever. God used phrases like all generations. God made an oath to David. In Psalm 89, verse 3, God told David, I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David, my servant, thy seed will I establish forever and build up thy throne to all generations, Selah. And so God, he's made an oath to David. And as we said yesterday with the Palestinian covenant, when God promised the land, and God cannot lie. Titus chapter 1 verse 2 says God cannot lie. So God has given a promise to Abraham and now being fulfilled through David of a seed. And to David specifically of a kingdom, of a throne. And God cannot lie. In Psalm 132 verse 11, the Bible said, the Lord hath sworn in truth unto David, he will not turn from it. Of the fruit of thy body will I set upon thy throne. God, and he swore that in truth to David, and God cannot lie. In Acts chapter number 2, verse 30, on the day of Pentecost, the Bible tells us, as Peter's preaching, therefore being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. Now, can you see where the covenant program of God is laying the foundation for the prophetic program of God? The prophecy that is to be fulfilled, future things that have not yet taken place are tied to the promises of God that God has given in his covenants that we read about through his word. Now, we see not only God's choice of words as we look at the binding nature of this covenant, we see God's choice of words, we find God's oath to David, but then we find God's commentary on this covenant. And I want you to look in Jeremiah chapter 33, and I'll read from my Bible here, Jeremiah chapter 33, verses 14. I mean, God has bound himself to this covenant that he's given to David. And now, again, remember, and I'm trying to be repetitive on purpose, but the Lord gave a covenant to Abraham, and that covenant, a part of that covenant was a seed. The Davidic covenant builds upon that promise of a seed, all right? And so now here's what God, he's binding himself to the covenant. It's unconditional. It's prophetic. It's determinative. He says in verse 14 of Jeremiah 33, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will perform that good thing which I have promised unto the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. In those days and at that time will I cause the capital B, branch of righteousness, to grow up unto who? David. And he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. Notice, now David's gone. He's dead at this time when Jeremiah's writing. But God's fulfilling that promise that he gave, that covenant that he gave to David. He said, in those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely. And this is the name wherewith she shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. For thus saith the Lord, David shall never want a man to sit upon the throne of the house of Israel. And God said, I gave a promise to David. I'm going to come through on that promise. Neither shall the priests, the Levites, want a man before me to offer burnt offerings and to kindle meat offerings and to do sacrifice continually. And the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah saying, thus saith the Lord, if ye can break my covenant of the day and my covenant with the night, and that there should not be day and night in their seasons, then may also my covenant be broken with David my servant. Whoa! Do you realize what he just said there? If you can make the daytime, the sun to quit rising and the sun to quit setting, if you can cause day and night to no longer be. There's no day, there's no night. Then I'll break my covenant with David. Here's what I just to kind of jump ahead. Jesus Christ is the Son of David. And I'm going to tell you right now, friend, this world may not like Donald Trump. They may not like conservatism. They may not like Christianity, but I'm telling you, there's someone that's a lot more conservative and a lot more Christian than Donald Trump. Amen. And the world's protesting him and his conservative. I'm going to tell you something. Jesus Christ one day, as the Son of David, is going to sit on the throne in the nation of Israel, in the literal city Jerusalem, and he's going to be ruling and reigning. That's a part of the prophetic program of God. And unless you can change day and night, unless you can cause day to quit happening and night to quit happening in their seasons, unless you can break, God said, man, you can't break that. You can't break my covenant with David. And I want to say praise God. Amen. Now, let's go on a little further. He said in verse 21, then may also my covenant be broken with David, my servant, that he should not have a son to reign upon his throne, and with the Levites, the priests, my ministers. As the host of heaven cannot be numbered, neither the sand of the sea measured, so will I multiply the seed of David, my servant. God's going to multiply. So again, the seed promise given to Abraham is being, in the Abrahamic covenant is being expanded upon here in the Davidic covenant. He said in verse number 23, moreover, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah saying, considerest thou not what this people have spoken, saying, the two families which the Lord hath chosen, he hath even cast them off. Thus they have despised my people, that they should be no more a nation before them. But notice verse 25. He says, thus saith the Lord, if my covenant be not with day and night, and if I have not appointed the ordinances of heaven and earth, then will I cast away the seed of Jacob and David my servant, so that I will not take any of his seed to be rulers over the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, for I will cause their captivity to return and have mercy on them. You might as well assume that the sun's not going to rise and set tomorrow as to assume that God has canceled his promises with the nation of Israel, with the seed of David, amen, and with the Lord Jesus Christ ruling and reigning on the throne in Jerusalem. So we see the binding nature of this covenant. The background of this covenant, David wanted to build God a house, and God said, you know what, you want to build me a house, David, I'm going to build you a house. You can't out-bless me. You want to bless me, I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to bind myself to this covenant. Then we see the people of God in Psalm 89. If we would turn there just real quickly, in Psalm 89, and there's just a few verses that I want to read there. Actually, the entire Psalm, Psalm 89, is a psalm that's really given to encourage the people of God when they did backslide and when they did rebel against God, that God would not be through with them. If they were in some kind of a national distress, we read about in Psalm 89, verses 39 through 51, how that God would ratify, confirm his covenant that he'd given to David. And I'm just going to read a few verses, but I encourage you, if you want to have a greater understanding of the promises that God gave to David, read the whole of Psalm 89. God said in verse number 29, his seed also will I make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. If his children forsake my law and walk not in my judgments, if they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, then will I visit their transgression. But notice verse 33, nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer, that means permit, my faithfulness to fail. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is going out of my lips. Once have I sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David. His seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. It shall be established forever as the moon, and as a faithful witness in heaven, Selah. And so we see that God is saying again, I made a covenant with the sun, with the moon. I'm not breaking. Those covenants would sooner break before I break my covenant with the nation of Israel, before I break my covenant with David. And so I say that the people of God learned that the psalmist himself placed confidence in God's mercy and truth that was established because of a covenant of grace that God had given to David and to his seed. Now, let's look real quickly at the blueprint of this covenant, okay? Remember, and I'm not going to go back and review, but I'll give you the verses. Remember that God had given the seed promises in the Abrahamic covenant concerning the seed. In other words, again, the Abrahamic covenant is a foundational covenant, and these other covenants, they build upon the truths that were laid out in the Abrahamic covenant. Well, one of those truths was God had told Abraham, I'll give you a seed that's going to be as the sand of the sea in multitude. It's going to be as the stars of the heaven in multitude. And so we find that in Genesis 12:2, in Genesis chapter 13, verse 16, and in Genesis chapter 17, verses 2 through 6. These are promises that God gave that of Abraham's seed. And remember again, I said it yesterday, but I'll say it again. Remember that the Ishmaelites, a lot of the Arabs, the Muslim nations, they say, well, we are the children of Abraham. And those seed promises and those land promises, they belong to us. But I say emphatically, not true, not true. God, when he told Abraham to take his son and offer him as a sacrifice, God said, take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac. God recognized that Isaac was the son of the covenant. He was the son of promise, not Ishmael, okay? Now, so God gave Abraham this promise of seed, and in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 12, and you can read that on your own time, and in Psalm 89, which we're at right now, Psalm 89, we'll read this one real quick, verse 3 and 4. Psalm 89, verse 3 and 4, I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David my servant, thy seed will I establish forever and build up thy throne to all generations. The Davidic covenant expands upon that seed promise. And God promises a seed to David, and he promises a throne, a kingdom to David. We also find that in Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 22 and 25 and 26. And so God promised David in this covenant that he would, the blueprint of this covenant is that he's going to give him a seed, that he's going to give him a kingdom, that he's going to give him a house, and that he's going to give him a throne. And guess what, friends? It's going to be forever. And I promise you, I don't care how dead things have looked in the nation of Israel in 1948, God began to bring them back into their land. God had preserved their seed. And though men like Adolf Hitler have tried to destroy the seed that God has promised to David, that God has promised to Abraham, they cannot. The covenant of God with the Jewish nation, the covenant of God with the nation of Israel, the covenant of God to David, it stands, my friend, as sure as day and night stands, as sure as the sun and moon stands, the covenant that God has given, it stands, all right? Now we see not only this covenant that's been given, the blueprint of the covenant, the binding nature of the covenant, the background of this covenant, but we see the blessings or the prophetic implications of this covenant. David's kingdom, which applies to his government and rule, and David's throne, which signifies his right to rule, shall be established eternally or forever. Think about Isaiah chapter number 9, verses 6 and 7. Isaiah chapter 9, and most of us would know these passages of Scripture. We quote these passages or we send them at Christmas time to friends. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. And I want to just, I have it memorized, but I want to just make sure I read it, so I'm pulling it up here. Isaiah 9, verse 6 and 7. The prophecy that God gave to Isaiah. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Who is that child? Who is that son? Well, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. When's that going to take place? That hasn't taken place yet. The government's not upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful. The world's not calling, now those of us that are saved call him Wonderful, but the world's not calling him Wonderful. Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. This is yet to happen. Notice verse 7. Of the increase of his government there shall be, and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of who? Upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So God, you see how this covenant stands? I mean, even as we talk about Christmas and celebrate the Christmas holiday and send cards and we use these verses, we're going back to the Davidic covenant to tell folks, hey, Jesus Christ is the wonderful God, and he's going to rule on the throne of David, in the nation of Israel, in the city of Jerusalem. The zeal of the Lord of hosts is going to make this happen. Notice in Luke chapter 1, verses 31 through 33. The Bible said here, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb. God speaking, an angel speaking here to Mary, and goes back to the Davidic covenant. He said, behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of who? His father David. Christ is the fulfillment of the Davidic covenant. He's the fulfillment of the seed that all the nations of the earth be blessed in. But he's the fulfillment of the kingdom promises given to David, of the king, of the son of David that will rule upon the throne of David. The Bible said, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob. How long? How long is Christ going to reign? Someone says 1,000 years. Oh, my friend, that's just a millennial reign. He rules and reigns forever and ever. The Bible said here, he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then notice Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 5 and 6. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and the king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In the days of Judah, in his days, Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name whereby he shall be called. This is Old Testament, friend. The Lord, our righteousness. And I'm going to tell you right now, Jesus Christ is the Lord, and he is our righteousness, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. Now, again, Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 24 and 25, we see again the Davidic covenant being talked about with the implications of prophecy that is yet to be fulfilled. The Bible said, David, my servant, shall be king over them. This hasn't happened yet. David, my servant, God is prophetically calling Christ under the name of David because of the Davidic covenant. And David, my servant, shall be king over them. And they shall all have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. And they shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob, my servant. We know this covenant has not been fulfilled yet because Israel has not dwelt in the entirety of the land, and they have not had one king of the son of David, of the throne of David, ruling over them. They shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob my servant, and wherein your fathers have dwelt, and they shall dwell therein, even they and their children and their children's children forever. And my servant David, again he's speaking of Christ, my servant David, man, I'm telling you, this fires me up, shall be their prince forever. That's talking about Christ. Amen. Christ is the fulfillment. Let me say it this way. In Christ is the fulfillment of the Abrahamic covenant. In Christ is the fulfillment of the Palestinian covenant. Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of the Davidic covenant. And so he's going to be their prince forever. Again, in Acts chapter number 2, New Testament preachers preached what I'm preaching right now. Acts 2, 29 and 30. Peter's preaching, men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. He said, man, he's in the grave. David's body's decomposed. He's not with us. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. Man, Peter is going back to the Old Testament covenant with David to point future prophecy that's yet to be fulfilled. Jesus Christ would be of the loins of David, the seed of David, to sit upon the throne of David. And so we see them, that David's house, his posterity, his physical descendants will never be displaced by another completely or destroyed completely. Again, we reject completely this idea that the church replaces the promises that God's given to Israel, that somehow the church replaces the promises that God's given to David, that God's given in the Palestinian covenant, that God's given in the new covenant. The church doesn't replace those promises. God did not cancel. God cannot change an unconditional covenant. He would sooner make that sun quit rising and setting than to change the promise that he made to David. And I promise you, friend, I'm telling you, we're living in a world that's racked with turmoil and strife and discontent and a hatred of God. Psalm 2 is being fulfilled. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. But the Bible said, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. God said, I'm going to have them in derision. You mark it down. He's going to be laughing. They're going to be in derision during the tribulation. And at the end of that, Jesus Christ is coming back to this earth. Amen. Somebody said that Jesus Christ left out of here, but he's coming back again. I think I heard an old preacher say Jesus Christ left out of here like Superman and he's coming back like the Lone Ranger on a big white horse. Amen. And I'm simply saying that Jesus Christ is coming back to rule and to reign. He has to. If he does not, then the promise that God gave to David is no good. The covenant that God gave the nation of Israel is no good. All right, but he will. Look here. In 2 Chronicles, David's house has been established forever by God. In 2 Chronicles 21:7, the Bible said, howbeit the Lord would not destroy the house of David because of the covenant that he had made with David as he promised to give a light to him and to his sons forever. Notice in Luke chapter 1, verse 27, the Bible said an angel came there to a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, and God just takes the time to point it out to us, of the house of David. Amen. And the virgin's name was Mary. Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of the covenant that God's given in the house of David. Zechariah chapter number 12, if you'll turn there. We look at the nation of Israel today and we say, man, they've rejected their Messiah. They've rejected the Son of God. How is it that God's going to bring them to him? Well, I'm telling you, after the 7-year tribulation, after the time of Jacob's trouble, Jacob represents Israel, the time of Israel's trouble, Jesus Christ, the man, the Jews are going to be under persecution like never before. Hitler's Holocaust will look like a Sunday school picnic when the Antichrist is wreaking havoc on the nation of Israel. God's going to give them a place in the desert. We'll talk all about that in future lessons. But in Zechariah in chapter number 12, the Bible said in verse number 10, and I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem. They're still going to be around. Amen. Antichrist can't do away with them. The spirit of grace and of supplications. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. And that day there shall be a great mourning in Jerusalem as the mourning of Hadad-Rimmon and in the valley of Megiddon. And the land shall mourn. And the Bible makes it clear. They're going to see the one that they crucified. And the Bible said, they're going to say, what are these wounds in thine hands? He's going to say, these are the wounds I received in the house of my friends. He came to his own and they received him not. But in that day, they'll understand. We missed our Messiah. Jesus Christ said, I came in my Father's name and ye believe me not. He said, if another shall come in his own name, him you'll believe. They will. They're going to accept the Antichrist as that Prince of Peace, but he'll break that peace treaty with them. And again, we'll talk about all this in future lessons. But the Bible makes it clear that at the end of the tribulation, at the Valley of Megiddo, there, when Armageddon's occurring, they're going to realize that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. They missed him, and they're going to repent. And the Bible said in Zechariah chapter 13, in that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David, hallelujah, and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. And we could go on and keep reading, but I've got to finish up the lesson. Read Zechariah 12 and 13, some awesome things relating to the Davidic covenant. So, if David's house and David's kingdom and of David's throne are literally fulfilled, if they're going to be literally fulfilled as the scripture prophecies demand them to be fulfilled, then logically that demands a preservation of the nation of Israel and a preservation of the Jewish race. It's impossible to restore a Davidic throne and a kingdom without a restoration of the Jewish nation. That'd be an impossibility. Therefore, every time I see a Jew, every time I see someone who is of Jewish descendant, it is proof positive to me that the Son of David, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, will someday reign gloriously, I say hallelujah, on David's throne and over David's kingdom, of which kingdom the Bible said there shall be no end. Every time I see a Jew, that's why I said yesterday as we was given our Bible lesson, when someone asked me, can you give me one word to prove that God is real? Can you give me one word to prove that Israel is going to rise as a nation and rule over the world? Can you give me one word to prove the prophetic program of God? I say, yes, I can. Israel. Israel is proof positive that the fact that they came out of the graveyard of nations in 1940 is proof positive that God's not through with them, that the covenant that God's given to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, the covenant that God's given in the Palestinian covenant with Moses, the covenant that God gave to King David, it stands. Amen. And every living Jew is testimony to the fact that Jesus Christ is coming back to rule and to reign. The Davidic covenant demands that the Son of David rule from David's national homeland, which is the nation of Israel. The Davidic covenant demands that David's son, the Lord Jesus Christ, must return to the earth bodily and literally in order to reign over David's covenanted kingdom. And so I hope you've enjoyed today's lesson as we look at the Davidic covenant and its relation to eschatology. Tomorrow, if we have the time, and I'll let you know again on Facebook whether we can or not. I think we can. Tomorrow we'll be looking at the new covenant, and we'll conclude the lesson as far as biblical covenants and eschatology, and we'll move on to then a study of dispensations and their relationship to the prophetic program of God. I really appreciate y'all watching. Hope you share these videos. I'm also making these videos available on sermonaudio.com. It links to our website, www.ruckmansafrica.com. You can watch them at either place, and I sure hope that you enjoy them. And I hope that it builds within you a desire to study the Word of God more and to learn the things of God so that we might be approved unto God. All right, take care. We'll see you tomorrow, Lord willing. Thanks for watching.